It's time for Motherlode Views, a look at the issues important to the quality of life in the Motherlode. Motherlode Views is brought to you by Nate's Tree Service. No job is too big or too small. Call 532-2460.
Well, good morning and welcome to Motherlode Views. I'm BJ Hansen, your host. We are joined on the telephone this morning by Calaveras County Sheriff Rochelle Whiting to get an update on crime activity in the county. We're going to notably hear about a major drug trafficking bust that involves several counties, including Calaveras and many outside agencies. It includes thousands of pounds of methamphetamine being seized. We're also going to get into some operational changes with the Sheriff's Office, now leading the county's Office of Emergency Services. Sheriff Whiting, I know it's a busy time. Thanks so much for coming back on Motherlode Views today.
Good morning, BJ. I'm always happy to be back on the show.
So as I mentioned in the intro, a major drug bust. So it was called Operation Trash Panda. You know, how did it get that name?
So, BJ, deputies are funny. And I know a lot of people think that we don't have a sense of humor, or maybe that we shouldn't have a sense of humor when we deal with such serious issues every day. But, of course, we do. So like wildland fire incidents are typically named for their location. The Electra fire started around Electra Road. The cataract fire just this last weekend in Calaveras, it started near the old cataract plant. So fire incident names are pretty self-explanatory. And then there are cops. And law enforcement operations are typically named through, let's say, brainstorming sessions by the lead investigators. And it usually involves like a pun or a play on words like Operation No Crack for Christmas or like Operation Terminus. That was a large-scale multi-agency law enforcement campaign that we did in Calaveras County in 2017, where we had eradicated over 27,000 plants and 25 tons of processed marijuana over a four-day period. We named that Operation Terminus because we were referring it to being like the end of the transportation line for the illegal large-scale cultivations. So with the most recent multi-agency operation, when it was coming together last month, the investigators from several agencies, they had a lot of good ideas on what they wanted to name it, and collectively they came up with Operation Trash Panda. Trash Panda being slang terminology for raccoons that are known to forage through garbage. And one of the initial components of our investigation originated last October after our deputies responded to an illegal dumping complaint in a remote area of Calaveras County. And our narcotics investigators, they understood the suspicious nature of the materials located. They took it very serious, and they literally dug through the trash like trash pandas, and worked for months building on their investigation. So this all culminated into Operation Trash Panda taking place on February 27th. We had about 100 law enforcement personnel executing simultaneous high-risk search warrants at three residential properties in Valley Springs in Calaveras County and Turlock and Modesto in Stanislaus counties. And it resulted in multiple arrests, 1,900 marijuana plants and 100 processed pounds of marijuana seized, 12 firearms, and around 2,700 pounds of methamphetamine that was seized in various stages of processing. And that's over a literal ton of methamphetamine. And it just blew our minds. I mean, it's the largest meth lab seizure in our department history. I talked to some of the chiefs at DEA. It's the largest for Sacramento and the San Francisco office, and they think we were told it probably ranked around third in DEA history for domestic lab seizures. So we knew it was going to be big, but I don't think that any of us or our partner agencies ever imagined that the scale and the size of the conversion lab that we located in Calaveras County was going to be that big.
Yeah, that's amazing. The size of it, is that why and how so many other agencies became involved with the investigation?
Well, our Calaveras Sheriff Narcotics Investigators, I mean, they were tenacious and they were persistent and they tracked down leads and work on identifying suspects and locations. So as the scope and the scale of the investigation grew, so did our need for collaborating with our partner agencies. And a big component of multi-jurisdictional investigations involves what's called deconfliction. And it's a critical safety and operational process used to identify when different agencies may be working on similar cases or suspects or conducting operations in the same area at the same time. It also helps not only to coordinate investigations and maximize resources, but also ensure officer safety. So Operation Trash Panda really demonstrated the effectiveness of coordinated federal, state, and local law enforcement partnerships. Agencies helped with contributing investigative resources. They authored search warrants. They provided analytical support, some of our surveillance operations, and then personnel just necessary in order to execute such a coordinated search warrant service across multiple jurisdictions at the exact same time. So as the investigation intensified, our Calaveras Narcotics Enforcement Unit worked really closely with the Sacramento County Sheriff's Office and the Sacramento Area Intelligence Narcotics Team, that's called SAINT. There's a task force with many partners on it. And then along with our other partners that were brought in with it, the DEA and their HIDA program, that's the High Intensity Drug Trafficking Network areas, HSI, FBI, one of the teams, Magnet, the Merced Area Gang and Narcotics Enforcement Team, and then their CDCR personnel assisted with serving a search warrant in one of the locations. You know, it truly was every agency working so well together in order to significantly disrupt this narcotic trafficking network that was operating in our community.
And then 8 people being arrested, was that across the 3-county area?
Yeah, it definitely was.
So when there was kind of the investigation in the Valley Springs area, are you able to share anything about when this kind of came to a conclusion?
Well, there are a lot of things that are still being worked on. It is an ongoing investigation, so I don't want to disrupt or compromise anything that they're working on. But I will say, for the Valley Springs location, when we say a conversion lab, you know, we're referring to criminals converting narcotics from one form to another, such as converting liquids to solids. So the conversion labs that we see today and that we found in Valley Springs, it's very different than the meth labs that we first saw, like when I started my career in 2000 with our sheriff's office. Back then, more often than not, we used to look for the precursors of making meth. You know, we had investigations where criminals were stockpiling over-the-counter medicines in order to extract the pseudoephedrine and add a bunch of chemicals like red phosphorus and other things, and they were synthesizing meth. Now, and what we saw in Valley Springs, you know, now we're seeing trends where Mexican drug trafficking organizations are smuggling methamphetamine in liquid solutions like in gas trucks or other hidden compartments in vehicles and transporting them across our borders into the United States and driven up in places like the Central Valley, or in our case, in Valley Springs, into remote locations where the drug labs are located, and then that's where criminals are using water and acetone and other chemicals to evaporate the liquid and resulting in these crystals resembling big blocks. It looks like, I don't know if I'm sure a lot of people saw the pictures that we released with our press release, but there are these giant, they look like almost like big blocks of ice or glass box. And it's just a large amount of narcotics that were seized. So in Valley Springs, the exact totals are still being calculated because it was an active conversion lab when we hit it, and it was in various stages of processing. So we had meth that was packaged in the Ziploc bags in similar weights and looked like it was ready for distribution. We had around 1,500 of the pounds seized was finished methamphetamine, and then the rest was in the process of being converted. Those solid blocks that you see in our pictures, each one of those weighed around 75 pounds apiece. And then there were buckets of wet crystal substance as it was being converted, and then there were buckets and barrels of the liquid itself. So it was a lot that we dealt with, and we were really happy to have our partners on the SAINT team, to have the DEA lab processing and hazardous materials processing, and especially the support from Sacramento Sheriff Jim Cooper and his crew, and the use of the helicopter, not only for aerial support and logistics, but also in transporting a lot of the evidence out of the scene.
Yeah, that conversion lab, as you described it, that's a concerning thing. And is that a new thing that you're seeing in Calaveras County, or have you seen those in the past?
We actually had a prior case with a conversion lab in Burson. This has been a number of years ago, but we have seen it before. This isn't brand new. It's been just trending more in this direction as far as the type of labs. I mean, we don't see meth labs like we used to in the late 90s and early 2000s. We don't find them as much. But these conversion labs, it's been trending this way for several years now.
Need to take a quick break. We're talking with Calaveras County Sheriff Rochelle Whiting on this weekend's Motherlode Views. I'm BJ Hansen, your host. Motherlode Views is brought to you by Nate's Tree Service, where no job is too big or too small. Our second segment is coming up in just a minute.
Nate's Tree Service does more than trim trees. Nate's will remove tree hazards, clean storm damage, provide CDF fire clearance, eliminate beetle infestation, chip brush, and so much more. Nate's Tree Service is licensed, bonded, and insured. They even carry workers' comp for their employees for your protection. No job is too big or too small in the Tri-County area for family-owned and operated Nate's Tree Service. Call 532-2460. That's 532-2460.
We welcome you back to Motherlode Views. I'm BJ Hansen, your host. We're talking about crime trends in Calaveras County, joined on the program by Calaveras County Sheriff Rochelle Whiting. During the first segment, we really dived into a major narcotics bust that recently happened in Calaveras County and some surrounding counties as well. And Sheriff Whiting, as mentioned earlier, eight people were taken into custody. What is kind of now next with this case?
So with large criminal cases like Operation Trash Panda, law enforcement works on investigations and arresting criminals, and it's necessary to coordinate resources with our district attorney's office to ensure prosecution. So with this operation, we engaged with Calaveras County District Attorney Barbara Yook and her staff early. We worked with her staff on compiling our probable cause declarations and the search warrants that were all executed. And then when six of the arrestees were brought and booked into the Calaveras County Jail, our district attorney worked on ensuring that they would stay there with declarations requesting to deny bail to ensure public safety and, of course, prevent flight. So that was good collaboration between our sheriff's office and the DA. And arrested, it was two females and four males. They were all aged between 32 and 45. All Hispanic with listed addresses in Modesto, Turlock, I believe one of them listed Los Angeles. And when they were arrested, they were brought in on charges ranging from straight possession of controlled substance to the felony manufacturing, compounding, converting, processing, or preparing a controlled substance to possession of materials for manufacturing methamphetamine, criminal conspiracy, of course. And then there was even a charge of a child abuse against juveniles because there were some kids located at one of the locations outside of Calaveras. So following close coordination after that between the Calaveras County District Attorney's Office and the United States Attorney's Office, proper jurisdiction for prosecution was agreed upon. So based on the strength of federal laws in this type of case, and with the concurrence of my office, the Calaveras County District Attorney agreed to dismiss the state charges in lieu of federal charges. So on March 6th, federal authorities moved forward with their case by serving arrest warrants. They took custody of everyone in this case and picked them up directly from the Calaveras County Jail. And so this case will be tried by the AUSA in federal court. So with all of that, we are extremely grateful for the partnership and support that we had from federal authorities during this operation.
Yeah, I appreciate the update on that. I'm sure several people were wondering, you know, what happened afterwards. So, if people are concerned that there may be similar type things going on in different parts of Calaveras County, what's the best way to reach out to the sheriff's office and law enforcement?
I mean, absolutely. Of course, if an emergency is happening, call 911. Otherwise, just call our direct sheriff's office non-emergency line at 209-754-6500. And as far as it comes to narcotics activity, it's funny, BJ, because I remember talking to you last July, I think it was, on Motherlode Views, and we were talking about challenges that is facing Calaveras County, and one of the consistently identified problems in our rural area is substance abuse, specifically methamphetamine and the harder drugs. And so we made that one of our objectives in the strategic plan last year, was to restructure the sheriff's office more towards our Calaveras Narcotics Enforcement Unit instead of how we were heavily focused on the marijuana enforcement team alone, you know, for the last 10 years. So it's just funny that you and I had talked about how we were restructuring and refocusing the narcotics unit. You know, I want to emphasize, we still have dedicated narcotics investigators that will continue to proactively go after illegal marijuana activity in our county, but they now have intensified focus on fentanyl, methamphetamine, on protecting our drug-endangered children is a huge part of it, you know, because the drugs are ruining people's lives. Not just the users, but the friends and the family that deal with the substance abuse. So with identifying drug-endangered children, we connect them and their families to the resources to ensure they are safe, properly cared for, and hopefully in our education system. So it's not just the crimes, it's not just the public safety, it's also the quality of life of our community. So if anyone has questions, if they want to talk to a deputy, if they want to report suspicious activity, just please call our office.
You know, another big change for the sheriff's office that I alluded to in the opener was that as of February, the Office of Emergency Services transferred back to the sheriff's office. So how has that been going?
Well, it is definitely a big change. We're standing up a whole new division for the sheriff's office. When I started working for our sheriff's office, like I said, I started working in 2000, and OES at that time was under county administration. And I remember when they moved it over to the sheriff's office, I saw Sheriff Dennis Downham swear in Clay Hawkins behind our old office. And people that have been in our county for many years recognize those names. So we had OES from the early 2000s until about 2016, and then it transitioned back to county admin. So for the next 10 years from 2016 to 2026, you know, there was just turnover every couple years with the OES director, and it's unfortunate. And we had good people that worked in the OES department during that time. John Osborne, Cameron Bardwell, our most recent director, Eric Holt, Baljeet Singh, good dedicated people in our county and working for OES, but it was the turnover every couple years with the director position that made continuity of operations hard, projects, grant management, you know, it was hard. It takes a while for people to catch up and then coming up with new ideas, and then there's timelines for submission of paperwork. And plus, our sheriff's office has the capacity to expand as incidents scale up and pull from our internal resources to support major incidents. So when the previous OES director, Holt, gave notice that he was leaving the county, this was around January, the county CEO, Teresa Hitchcock, she first approached me and just asked if the sheriff's office would assist in covering OES until a new director could be hired, just to ensure emergency management remained in place. And of course, I assured her that our sheriff's office commitment to our community extends beyond public safety to meet any emergency management needs. So then as I was talking with CEO Hitchcock, our discussion morphed into, you know, she's like, well, would the sheriff's office be willing to take on OES if the Board of Supervisors wanted to go in that direction? So just to be prepared, members of my administration reviewed the operational requirements, what the budget would look like, what a staffing plan would be, you know, what all it would entail if the board decided to transition back to us. And then that was presented to the Board of Supervisors on January 27th, and they decided to start the transition back over to the sheriff's office. So in the interim between January 27th and February 24th, when they made that final vote to move it back over to the sheriff's office, of course we were hit with that major winter storm. So we've been dealing with the storm impacts of that. I think my staff did an outstanding job with that. We had our dedicated PIO Lieutenant Jason Waite was pushing information, trying to keep the public as informed as we could as to what was happening. And we continue to work. Even this week, we're working on recovery efforts related from that disaster declaration.
So do you have like a certain person, kind of like you mentioned in the old days, Clay Hawkins kind of oversaw OES with the sheriff's office. Is a certain person, or is it various people that kind of step into that role now?
Yeah, we definitely, to maintain continuity of operations and having a good understanding of emergency management, it is necessary to keep someone that's designated in that role, and that's their full-time job, that they can focus on it. So we have selected Sergeant Cole Waite. He's new in the role. He just went to actually an incident command system class last week, so he's getting his feet under the ground. He's reporting to Captain Tim Sturm in my Operations Bureau Commander. So we are setting up the framework, and actually Captain Sturm's busy today because they're interviewing for emergency services analysts. So we will have a sergeant designated as my designee as the OES director internally here, reporting to the captain, and then they will have emergency services analysts to help work on updating the plans, the grant management, helping schedule community meetings, just making sure that we stay focused on the whole community approach to emergency management for our county.
Need to take one more break. We're talking with Calaveras County Sheriff Rochelle Whiting on this weekend's Motherlode Views. I'm BJ Hansen, your host. Motherlode Views is brought to you by Nate's Tree Service. No job is too big or too small. We'll have our final segment in just a minute.
Nate's Tree Service does more than trim trees. Nate's will remove tree hazards, clean storm damage, provide CDF fire clearance, eliminate beetle infestation, chip brush, and so much more. Nate's Tree Service is licensed, bonded, and insured. They even carry workers' comp for their employees for your protection. No job is too big or too small in the Tri-County area for family-owned and operated Nate's Tree Service. Call 532-2460. That's 532-2460.
We're talking about law enforcement in Calaveras County and public safety on this weekend's Motherlode Views, joined on the program by Calaveras County Sheriff Rochelle Whiting. We've been talking about a major drug bust, also getting into some other issues like the transition of the Office of Emergency Services back to the Sheriff's Department. And Sheriff Whiting, I know one other recent change is in regards to a canine in the department. So what can you tell us about that?
Yeah, so we're very excited to add a new canine to our program. We had Sergeant Brandon Bowie and his partner Titan that's already been operating on patrol. And then just yesterday on our department Facebook page, if people want to go look, we introduced canine Cairo, and he'll be partnered with Deputy Christopher Rhodes. Cairo is a year and 8-month-old Belgian Malinois. He's originally from the Slovak Republic, so he's an import from Europe. He comes from a line of working dogs bred and trained for police work. Hopefully I'll pronounce this right, but he's specialized training in Schutzhund. It's a European working dog program that tests the dog ability in three key areas: tracking, obedience, and protection work. He can follow human scent over long distances, perform controlled apprehension. You know, we're hoping to use him for tracking, search and rescue, apprehension. We're really excited. If you look at the picture of him, it's cute. He's got like this little white patch of hair right in the center of his chest, and it looks like it's in the shape of a badge. I swear, Cairo was born to do this job. And Deputy Rhodes has been with us around 3 years. He's really excited to get the dog working. And I do, before we move on, I do want to give a shout out to the Friends of the Sheriff nonprofit public charity for their tremendous support over the years. They donated the cost and the training, everything, of Cairo. There was an anonymous donor, a single anonymous donor, that donated $100,000 in order for us to buy a brand new, equipped, fully outfitted patrol vehicle for Deputy Rhodes in Cairo. There are people like Gary and Marleya Caldwell of Valley Springs that donate every year. There are a lot of donators down in Calaveras County that contribute to providing funds and programs and projects and equipments for our sheriff's office, and we were just so grateful for that.
Yeah, it's great to see that community support for the sheriff's office.
Yeah, and then, of course, we'd love to get them on the street right away, but Deputy Rhodes and Cairo are scheduled to go through the Top Dog Police Canine Training and Consulting Program, so they have their certifications coming up, but they're literally chomping at the bit to get going on it. They're currently bonding.
Well, Sheriff Whiting, we have just a few more minutes left on this weekend's Motherload Views. What else is keeping you busy these days as sheriff?
Well, this week, our budget for next fiscal year is due. So this week, myself, our members of our administration, we're working hard on creating the fiscal year 26-27 budget. We always have a multi-year capital project plan on figuring out what technology equipment, personal protective equipment that our deputies, correctional officers, dispatchers, what everyone needs to do their job. So, of course, we're always looking at buying new patrol trucks. We got a new state-of-the-art drone this last year. That drone was used to apprehend someone in the woods just last month. It was great. We're looking at probably buying two more internal drones to replace a couple that we had. Keeping up with the evolving technology, ensuring that we're establishing the proper budgets to meet our needs with the resources, programs, and level of services that the community has come to expect of us. I know when I became a cop, I didn't think I was going to be sitting here doing so much paperwork and budget, but as sheriff, it keeps us busy, but we've got direction from the county to do a status quo budget. We're really happy about that, and that's what we're working on this week.
You know, as we wrap up, it feels like fire season weather this week with the spike in temperatures. You know, what advice do you have for people just getting ready for the upcoming fire season and things that they can do to help you and also themselves?
Of course, anything they can do for home hardening to make sure they have good clearance around their structures. You know, now that we've taken OES back, we want everyone to make sure they know their zone. I know a lot of people utilize watch duty and other notification systems, but when fires ignite in the county, when our 911s start rolling in, when we do have to do evacuations, we work with our allied and mutual aid resources to quickly and efficiently notify people as soon as we can. But knowing your zone, when we activate an evacuation area or we put you on an evacuation warning or an evacuation order, it is all done through the mapping system, and we use the Genesis system. So we'll be putting out more information in the probably by April, May, just as a reminder for people to make sure they know their zone when we push that information out.
Yeah, and you never know which way fires are going to go, so I imagine it's important to know all the different roads and side streets in your neighborhood as well this time of year.
Absolutely. I mean, when we put out the instructions regarding evacuation orders or warnings, we just tell people, like, they're rural roads, they're very small, sometimes, you know, we have our livestock owners trying to come in there to get their livestock out. So delaying your departure can lead to traffic congestion and hinder fire suppression efforts. So we just ask for everyone's cooperation. It's greatly appreciated for the safety of everyone involved. We understand that leaving your home is a serious decision. So we are committed to lifting evacuation orders as soon as it's safe to do so, and we don't take it lightly when we have to do it.
Do you have quite a few pre-planning meetings and coordinating with the different agencies to get ready for the upcoming season?
Oh, absolutely. So we already have a series of meetings amongst our multi-agency cooperating group in the county. We usually do a pre-fire season and a pre-winter season meeting. We just had, you know, our series during the winter storm. That group and those agency leads all got together and we're discussing how we manage that. You know, large-scale emergency responses are different from the day-to-day operations. So we always do those preseason meetings as a reminder to everyone how it works. We had representatives from Red Cross at our office just this last week showing us the pre-established shelter list available in our county, how fast they can deploy to open overnight shelters, what resources and what their program can offer. So, yep, because even in between when things are happening, we're already planning for what we can do better or what we can do to be prepared.
Sheriff Whiting, we appreciate your time, and thanks for coming on Motherload Views. We look forward to talking to you down the road.
Thank you, BJ.
You've been listening to Motherload Views, a look at the issues important to the quality of life in the motherload. Motherload Views has been brought to you by Nate's Tree Service, where no job is too big or too small. Call 532-2460.